Bob Park.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Homemade Broadcast. This is episode 486. It is the 6th of July, 2023. And with me, as always, she appears to have a thread hanging from her shirt on a hump. Oh, that's your arm. I thought it was a tiny thread.
My dad calls them toothpicks.
Oh man, that's even better. That's even better. Well, Anna, welcome back. A day late. Apologies on my end and Anna's end. It you know, it's vacation. We're celebrating the 4th of July. We're having fun with our friends and families. And
I was driving yesterday around 5 p.m. and couldn't for the life of me figure out why there was so much traffic until it dawned on me that it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was just a regular weekday. And I was like, oh, I thought it's been Sunday 4 days in a row. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I don't really mind the holidays on a Tuesday. At first, I was like, oh, man, Tuesday, that kind of stinks. But it's kind of...
I got 5 days off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and I think most people did too. I know there's probably many that didn't, who probably worked, you know, the Monday and or didn't take the next day off or whatever. I was back to work yesterday, but it's like, boom, Wednesday is now Monday. And then all of a sudden, the weekend is just right around the corner. I mean, it's pretty much Friday.
Tomorrow's
Friday.
Ready for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. How was your, I know we kind of made some tacit plans to get together on the 4th of July, but I ended up not getting home. I was traveling that day. I went up to North Florida up in Amelia Island, which is near Jacksonville. And my lady's dad lives out there, so I spent some time on the beach and the pool. And it was a great time, but that's a long drive. You know, Florida is a long state, long, thick state with lots of avenues to go down, and I hate driving on the interstate, so we kind of took these back county roads and stuff, and it was kind of cool seeing you know, Florida. I've lived here my entire life, but I've never really seen the country or the you know, the landscape that Florida has to offer. And it even inspired a movie selection, of all things. When we were driving up on Friday, we drove by the mental hospital, the state mental hospital, that I think there's only a handful, maybe one or two, that exist now. They used to be all over the place. And then Geraldo Rivera did a expose in the late 70s, early 80s, and about the mistreatment of some of these, you know, vulnerable populations that live in these mental institutions, and then got them all shut down. And then all these people who should be, you know, medicated or getting treatment are now just living on the streets. So that's the alternative, the trade-off there. And there was actually, I was like, oh, that's, look at that. There's a mental hospital right there. And then we started looking into famous people who have, you know, been there, like, or not maybe famous, more infamous people of note that have been in this hospital. And then we found this guy. I can't think of his name, but he was in this hospital, and actually the Tampa Bay Tribune back in the, I don't know, a long time ago, broke another story about mistreatment there in that hospital, and it inspired a film called, I believe it's Catahoochee, and it goes over this dramatized experience of this man who was placed in a mental institution. He was a combat veteran in Korea, came home, wanted to do a suicide by cop because he was finding it hard to find a job, and just went out in the neighborhood and started shooting his gun, and then said, you better call the cops. And then the cops came, and he ended up being taken alive after a failed suicide attempt. And he wanted to do this in order to get his wife the insurance. And I guess if you kill yourself, you only get like 10. And then if you die, you get 20. So he wanted the police to kill him And that ended up being a failed attempt. So he spent time in this institution. Movie sucked. It was not really a feel good film and not particularly well acted, I would say, either. Not a great movie, but it did inspire, you know, the tale. So if you're interested in that man's story, Catahoochee, about the mental institution in Florida, free on Tubi. Not an endorsement, because it sucked. I would not watch it. I'm just saying I did. That's all. What did you do for 4th of July?
Well, not much for the 4th other than eat Jet's Pizza, which is the most delicious pizza on the planet.
I love me some Jet. Now the
best with the ranch. Yes.
Catahoochee movie. Jet's Pizza. Two thumbs up. Yeah, I love me some Jets.
Yeah, but we actually kind of celebrated, let's just say, the 4th on the 1st. Went to go visit a friend in Sarasota, one whom you've met before, my Canadian friend, Indian guy. I don't want to just give out his name. He didn't consent to this. But we went to go visit him. He actually lives in Sarasota because he was staying with a friend in Sarasota. And then they just got married.
How do I know this person? Did I?
Well, you were blacked out when we all hung out a long time ago. I want to say it was November of 21.
Okay. Well, I don't recall, but maybe that's if I saw fine. A pic or something. Fine.
Yeah, we went out. We met you, and I think Zach was in town. Your buddy Zach was in town.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Brown. Yes. He was staying with a friend. His other friend in Sarasota, and then went back to his home country of Canada and then returned to visit last year in November, same deal. And then was like, you know what? I'm gonna stay and we're getting married.
Oh, wow.
So they went from friends to lovers to husband and wife in about 3 weeks.
Holy, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind. This happened in April of this year. Wow. So I remember going out there to see him and we chatting it up and he's like, I think she's throwing out signs. I don't know. And then I'm like, he's like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, you got to talk to her. I can't give you any definitive answers because you don't have enough information to make really a responsible decision. So we kind of cornered her and questioned her and they talked and they decided to that they were going to start dating. And then I hit him up like 2 weeks later going, how are things going? He goes, get married on Thursday. And I was like, what? So we got married so that he wouldn't have to leave the country like a month later.
Holy moly. Wow. Well, I guess congratulations. Although I don't know if you should admit that. Well, you didn't say his name. That's good, because I think that could technically be fraud. But you didn't mention his name, so I think we're okay.
Didn't mention his name. Don't know who it is. This could be just a story that just made up.
Making it up. Yeah.
But, well, yeah, so it was his birthday. His birthday is on Canada Day. Gross. So, but we ended up just going there. It worked out. Much like you said, there was booze and there was a pool and some sunshine and I was in my happy place. So
worked out during the holiday. Well, I'm not surprised, but my Lord, what a task that is when it's like vacation day. That's good for him. I mean, you got out of Canada. That's great. You know, happy 4th of July for that. And then also Canada is burning through the wildfires, which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah, not great. Not great.
It's all right. They'll be fine. Canada's burning, you know, happy 4th of July. And also France is burning. So happy double 4th of July, America 2, other countries 0. That's what I like to see.
Good. Yeah. Let it burn.
Let it burn. Let it burn indeed. I found this bottle of booze that I've been searching for since it came out. It's not that old.
Did you hide it from yourself?
Did I what?
Did you hide it from yourself?
No, I found it in a liquor store. I'd never find anything.
Oh, you said found. I was thinking like it disappeared in your closet or something. No,
I have all my bottles on display back here. I wonder if I can
show them to you here.
Oh my God. Wow. So many things have changed since I've left the area.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some shelves up. I got all my bottles there. But yeah. I found a bottle of Jack Daniel's 12, which is a very sought-after bottle right now.
Never knew about it. I know Jack Fire.
Yep, same company.
That's it. Okay.
Same company. But, so I found that. And then they also had a 10-year edition as well. And for some reason, I didn't buy that because it seemed like, it was a lot of money. The one bottle was $99, and then the 10-year one was $89.
So does that mean that they make a bottle, they label it as 10, and then they lock it in a closet for 10 years?
Well, sort of, in a way. What they do is they distill the liquor, and then they put it in a barrel. You know, typically it's, I believe it's oak or, I think that's right. Maybe, I don't know. Oak. Let's just go with oak. Some sort of wood barrel. And then you put it in a rick house in a building, and you let it sit for however long you want. 10, 12 years, 17 years, 18 years. Some go as high as 20 years. And then they take it out and they bottle it up and sell it. So this was one that was aging for 12 years that, this is how I spend most of my time, is like listening to bourbon podcasts and going on bourbon websites and finding out when these releases are. It's really gotten to a weird spot in my life. I don't really like it. I don't approve.
Such as 38, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I found this bottle. I just stopped in this liquor store on the way up, and I found a bottle of Jack 12 just sitting there for I've seen it online, people trying to resell it, and you know, you could probably get anywhere between $300 and $600, I would say, if I resold this bottle, which I really thought about doing.
How much did you buy it for?
$99. Got it for $99. Yeah. Which is just slightly over what the manufacturer suggested retail price is. I believe it's like $75 or $79 or something, and I paid $99. So that, no problem. Happy to do that. Because a lot of these stores in Florida, especially, they'll they could sell it for whatever they want. So, you know, you get a bottle that's a suggested retail price of $49, like a E.H. Taylor or something like that, and then they end up selling it for some of them have them as high as $300 on sitting on the wall.
Now, when you have these fancy bourbons, Will, and be honest, don't be an a-hole about it. Can you really tell the difference?
You can. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. If I were to give you even a novice drinker such as yourself, which you probably don't like whiskey anyways, so you're going to be like, gross. This is gross. Both of them are gross. But I think even you would be able to be like, okay, this one's less gross than this one. I think you'd be able to tell.
Okay. It's smoother, I believe, is the adjective that they use.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of these things, and they have like tasting notes. Well, they'll be like, I taste some black cherry and cedar and vanilla and leather. And I'm like,
who wants to taste leather?
I don't know if I get those. It's not like you're chewing on a belt, though. It's like a subtle thing that you pick up, just like wine.
What notes are. I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know what? This is just something that, you know, it's kind of like a niche deal that you like. And I just, you know, don't. Not interesting.
Oh, I get it. I get it. And it's not really, there are going to be some women out there who are going to scoff at this, but it's not really a woman thing. It's
wine, more of a, though, on the other hand, same deal. I met a chick when I was in Idaho, not met, but knew and reconnected with. She knew so much about wine and the aging process with that and the stems and the alcohol content. And it was like exactly what you know about bourbon, but just a wine deal. And to me, that it's funny because like that's like more of a feminine thing, but essentially it's the same thing. She knew all, like you said, all the type of wood, the barrel, the grapes, where they come from, what makes it red, what makes it white, what makes it rosé, but it's wine instead of bourbon.
Yeah. I mean, and I know that there are quite a few gals that are into the whiskey thing, but when you think whiskey, you just think of like a cowboy. You know, rugged, like, oh, this is disgusting. And this is, not into this.
And let me ask a question. And this is a whiskey trivia one. all bourbons are whiskeys, but not all whiskey is bourbon. Correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yep. Yep. And the protocol, do you know why that is?
Yes. Because bourbon is distilled in Kentucky.
That is incorrect. You can make bourbon anywhere in America. It's an American spirit. If you use a recipe that's a whiskey and you make it in California, it could still be a bourbon. But if you make it in Canada, it's a Canadian whiskey. Or South America, then it's just garbage. Don't
Well, what
drink
about
that.
The whole Kentucky deal? Or the Mississippi Kentucky, River or something. There's something there.
The Kentucky thing, it's where most of the distilleries are. There's like, the row there, the Lux Row, and all these distilleries out there. So Kentucky's the most famous. It has to do with the content of what they use. I think it's got to be like 60% corn, and then you can like mix it up. Otherwise, there's 70%. There's some percentage that has to be corn in order for it to be bourbon. But they also use rye. They use malt. There's other things that they use as well. If that makes sense.
It does.
Eric is, he says he's a part-time at the liquor store, the bourbon owners. I'm one of those, Eric. Yeah, I do harass Ron at my local Publix.
Whoa, you're on a first-name basis.
Ronnie. I call him Ronnie. I don't know if Ronnie's going to help me out anymore.
That's a red flag.
He's got me two bottles of Blanton's in about 6 months. So I guess my Publix doesn't really have that much, or he's got other people that he gives his stuff to. But I went in there and I got a Blanton's, which is it's not like a super expensive one, but it's highly sought after. Everybody wants Blanton's. And I stopped in there the next day because he kind of did this thing. He's like, yeah, this is the only one. Don't tell anybody. And gave me a little wink at the end. And I stopped in and Ronnie was not there at the liquor store. It was the gal. And I went, ooh, I wonder if if she has any more. So I stopped in there and asked her. I was like, hey, you don't have any Blanton's left, do you? She's like, oh, no, you missed out. We did have some. But I got some Buffalo Trace. But everybody's got Buffalo Trace now. But
do you like Buffalo Trace?
I do.
What's
it's fun.
What's your top tip, your preferred bourbon that's not like ridiculously priced?
Okay, I'll tell you in a second. Let me finish this thing. So I asked the gal. All of a sudden, Ronnie comes out from behind the stock room. I was like, oh no, now he thinks I'm trying to pull a fast one and get another Blanton's out of this store. So I don't know. I wasn't in town this week and it was the holiday. So I don't know how he's going to react next week to me, but he seemed a little disappointed in me for trying to sneak another one. So Eric, yeah. Let me know what Publix you're at so I can come bug you. Cause you can save me some good stuff. You know what I mean? Come on, Eric, my man, my guy, certain things I'm looking for. So no, I'm kidding. Unless you're going to do it. So what bourbons do I like that are affordable? You say?
Yeah, nothing like, oh, it's $600 a bottle. Like, get real. Something okay, that so is like affordable.
I don't have any that are $600. So most of mine.
If you could get your hands on them, you would. Maybe you've tasted it once in your life. But typically, what do you go for?
So I do. The hobby has kind of become I spend some time on it. And I mean, I have a bunch of bottles back here. If I were to say some that, hold on a second, hold it down for 1 second. I'm just going to go grab the bottle. I'm going to be real quick.
This alcoholic boozer biatch has a problem. And I'm about to call it. Hey, what's up?
I can't hear you. I'm assuming you're not slandering me. I'm assuming you're not slandering me or my hobbies.
No, never, never, never.
I would say one of the ones I really like that you can find semi-easily is this one. This is
Jack Daniels.
This is Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirit. It's a single barrel. I believe it's the Kentucky 151 single barrel is essentially what this is.
What does that go for?
I believe anywhere between, it went up in price recently, but it's anywhere between like $60 and $70. So it's not super cheap, but it's good. I like it. It does kind of vary because it is a single barrel, so you're only getting one barrel once, whatever the recipe was. I had one from Whiskey Willie's that they did a store pick where they went and picked a barrel and bottled it and sold it in their store exclusively. And it wasn't that good. First one I had was great. This one I'm not sure about. We'll see. I'm trying to look to see if I can find one that's not super fan. Oh, all right. Hang on. Don't slander me, but hold it down 1 second. I'll be right back.
Will's got issues. He's got problems. He's a lush, and we're going to have an intervention.
I'm assuming Anna was saying nice things. Mm-hmm. And I would say the second one, it's not impossible to get. I had to visit a lot of stores, though, and I found it just sitting on the shelf. And Johnny Drum. This is a Willett product.
Johnny what?
Johnny Drum, it's called.
Drum.
It's good. The first time I saw it, I picked it up and I overpaid for it. It was a place on the beach, and I think I paid $90 for it, which is insane. Don't do that because it's not that good. But this one, I think I paid $55. So that one's pretty good. And
was it bad because you paid too much money for it?
No. Oh. It's just not worth $90. It's worth about half that. Okay.
It's good. You like it, obviously.
I like it. Let's see what else is up here that's easy to find. Not super expensive. Probably just a Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace you can get kind of anywhere now. Every grocery store I go in seems to have Buffalo Trace, and
like it, right?
I do. It would be like a good decanter filler. I think it's something that you could share with people who are new to the game, and they would be like, "Oh, this is good." Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's $25 now if you get it in the grocery store. So that would probably be my third selection, and it was hard to get, but all of a sudden I even heard an ad for it on Joe Rogan's podcast. So I'm like, wow, this is
taking off.
They must have upped production or something, because I used to pay, $42 for it. You used to be able to get Evan Williams single barrel in Florida. And I used to get that all the time. And that was before I even really knew anything, but I knew that one was cheap and it was good. And now you can't find that one in Florida for some reason. So that's unfortunate. But that would have been another one. Evan Williams single barrel. So that would probably be my top three. I got a lot over there. But, there's a lot of stuff that I can't afford. I don't have it like that. But there's a lot on my list that I'm trying to get. Maybe one day.
If I were to have that same shelf behind me, you'd see like Truly's iced tea.
What is it?
A Topo Chico? Topo Chico.
Yep.
And then maybe a High Noon pineapple. Big fan.
Okay, those are good.
Big fan, and that's it, man. That's it.
Eric says that he's in Lakeland, so not really convenient. Dude, if you got a Pappy Van Winkle or something like that, I will drive to Lakeland.
You will make the drive.
I will make the drive to Lakeland if it's something.
You will make the drive drunk. That's how dedicated he is.
If you got an Eagle Rare 17 or some of those, what do you call those? They release them once a year. There's like a collection of really good ones. Any Pappies, that type of stuff, let me know, bro. I'll come out there and visit you. I don't care if you're in Lakeland. That would be worth the drive for sure. But you never find that stuff. No. And if you do, it's like thousands of dollars. And I ain't got it like that. So it's an expensive hobby, but it's been one that I've really been enjoying because I love to get drunk.
Yeah, so. You're really good at getting drunk. You just walk around. No one knows you're drunk. You have no recollection of who you are, where you've been, what you've been doing, if you've been driving. It's impressive.
It is. I'm glad that I have the that ability, but also it scares me at the same time.
It should.
So yeah, the holiday was good. We had this weird interaction. My girl's dad's great, and I'm kind of scared he's going to listen to this, so I need to
be mindful.
Be mindful of that. That's good. He wears nightgowns around the house. He wears dresses that are like house coats, and he's a man. And he doesn't wear underwear underneath his house coat. He just wears this dress because that's what he's comfortable in, and it's his home. But there are times when it kind of rides up a little too high. And that's frightening.
Is it a short dress?
No, it's a full length, like house coat type of thing.
You calling it a house coat, but then also calling it a dress. I'm feeling he's not in a trench coat. I feel like this is.
No, it's not a trench coat. It's not a trench coat. Let me see.
Is this like a old Western deal, you know, with long johns? I don't know. I need a visual.
I'm trying to. It's definitely not the. I just looked up night coat for men, and it kind of looked like what came up was the like Hugh Hefner red pressed, you know, robe type of thing. That definitely was not it. What would you call it? A nightgown, maybe, for men? Nightgown for men. Okay, this is closer. This is closer. This thing here. Let me pull it up. My own producer, so please be patient with me. But let me share this tab, present, and then we're going to share the screen, and then we're going to go to Amazon, and we're going to click share. So I think you could see this,
okay.
Right? It's a little...
Uh-huh.
It's kind of one of these things.
Okay.
And they're very bright and colorful, I will say. They look like some... like an African dashiki type of very vibrant colors.
Well, I'm sure you could get it in plain black, but you're saying
he likes it like this.
Specifically likes the vibrancy of like fluorescent neon or dashiki type.
Correct. Pattern. Correct. So yeah. He's into the wild colors. He likes to show a little flair, not really in his normal garb. He kind of just wears like normal dad clothes, you know, polos and gym shorts. But then when he's in his home, he likes to get colorful and vibrant and wear dashikis that are very bright with no underwear.
Did you see his balls or where are we going with this?
I didn't see his balls, but there was one point where I looked over, he was on the couch and it had ridden up pretty far and you could see where, you know, let's just say you could see the tan lines, you know, where it was way above his leg where underwear would normally sit. There was nothing there. And I was like, wow, he's really not wearing underwear. Under this thing, he's going full tilt. That's balls. I mean, literally and physically.
And he's pulling it off, right? Like he's pulling off this look. You might be listening.
I just don't think anybody could pull off the look. I mean,
can pull it off.
I don't know. I don't know. I got to be honest. I'm not sure if anyone could pull off the nightgown. No undies look, but I give him like he just doesn't care, which I do respect that a lot. Where you're just like, this is what I'm comfortable in. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care if I have company. This is how I dress, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's his home, and
you stayed with him. You didn't stay in an Airbnb.
We did not. We stayed at his place. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So there was plenty of opportunities to see him in the nightgown. So that was interesting. That was something that my girl was concerned about. But I'm like, you know, even if I did see his balls, whatever, you know, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Have balls.
I don't want to see them, but, you know, I've been in locker rooms before. Sometimes you see stuff you don't want to see. You know, at the urinal, whatever.
You were so upset by it, you wouldn't be staying in the man's house. Like, clearly...
Yeah.
You're willing to take that risk to save a few bucks.
I appreciate that. Like if my mom, I'm trying to think of an equivalent, like if we were at some place, my mom's home, and she saw my mom's boobs, I would just be like, okay, well, that's gross. But I don't think she would be devastated by it. She would just be like, they're just, they're boobs. I'm not attracted to them and I'm not attracted. You know, it's just part of anatomy that women share. So if you were to see a man's testicles, for me, it would kind of be like, that's gross, but it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, it's his home. So that was the only unusual part, really. So that was my 4th of July. I don't really have anything else to comment on.
Is this the three of you? Do you get along well?
Yeah.
Was her brother in town or?
Yeah. Yeah, we get along well. His wife was out of town. She came back for one day, so we did get to hang out with her one day, but it was mostly just us three. in the house with the dress and the balls.
Nice.
So it was a good time. It was a good time. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I wanted to talk to you about. There was a few things.
You sent me something earlier today about, oh God, what was it?
Oh, I was listening to this podcast, and it was this, you know, the Epstein report came out, the Jeffrey Epstein DOJ investigation. And we knew that nothing was going to come of that, of course. And they just said, yeah, there was some big time errors in the prison. And that allowed him to commit suicide. And that was kind of it. And you knew that that was going to be the case. And I started listening to this guy. It's the Martyr Made podcast. He does a show with Jocko Willink called Unraveling. And that's where I kind of heard of him. But he does his own thing. And he's like a history type of buff dude. So I started listening to some of his history podcasts, which were really interesting. And it wasn't just like, you know, it was American history. It was about one. He had this episode about the biggest insurrection in American history, which was the West Virginia coal miners in like 1910 or something. And that's one that I never really took time to learn about or never learned about it in school. So that was really cool. And they're like 3 hours long, but they're interesting the whole time. And then the other one, he did this episodes about Jeffrey Epstein, and he kind of dug into, he kind of concluded and hinted that, and everybody knows this, that he was connected to Israeli intelligence and the CIA. And there's so much information that I had trouble, like a lot of names, kind of keeping up with this stuff. But one of the things that piqued my attention was this group called the Finders, I believe it was. And this story was, and I think it caught my attention because it kind of sparked in Tallahassee, Florida back in the 80s, which was these two well-dressed men that were with these like feral children, bug-bitten, you know, not kempt, looked emaciated. And these guys were just like businessmen in suits with these kids. So somebody got alarmed by that and called the police. And they ended up finding, you know, they arrested them, and they ended up being part of this group called the Finders, which was created by this man who was in the CIA at one point. And, you know, you're never not in the CIA. And this all kind of got swept under the rug. The Wikipedia kind of goes into conspiracy theories about this group. But I don't know. It just made me think about, and he had the whole series. It was like 5 hours. I actually just finished it today. And again, there's so much information that I had trouble retaining it to tell you, but the kind of the conclusions were just like, yeah, there seems to be a lot of Jeffrey Epstein's out there that are connected to government and intelligence operations.
They're like for hire, private.
I don't even know if it's for hire or they're just in a position where they're so highly ranked that they there's just no repercussions for them. They're vital to their infrastructure or something where you just can't get rid of them. So every time they get caught, it kind of just gets swept under the rug and nothing kind of happens to these people. So it's like,
well, for hire, meaning like you're not technically part of the agency, but you're working in cahoots with the agency for money, gifts. Maybe they got some stuff on you where you're kind of forced to work for them.
Yeah.
You owe someone a debt, you know.
Yeah, blackmailing type of thing, which is pretty much what the Jeffrey Epstein was. It was a blackmail operation on these politicians to get them to do the bidding of whoever is setting them up, whether that's, you know, Mossad or other agencies or the CIA or whatever. They went into so much stuff. It was very, I was impressed with the ability to sit there and research that. He must have read a bunch of stuff and retained it in his brain so then he could tell you about it, which was very impressive. I don't know what the process of that was, but you got to be pretty smart to be able to do that. That's for sure. So it's called the Martyr Made podcast. Martyr Made, one word. If you want to look into that, it's just you look up the Jeffrey Epstein one, but all of them are really good. And that group, the Finders, was one that just kind of, I guess, tipped my attention because it was Tallahassee. I heard that, and then I started to pay attention a little bit more. So that was fascinating. By the way, this is a live stream. Obviously, if you're watching this right now, you know that. But some of you may not know that. You might be listening on podcasts later on, or perhaps on Radio St. Pete on Sunday evenings. You can join us typically on Wednesdays between... Anna and I are going to get a set time that we're going to do this show, so you can set it like clockwork. But what I would do is go over to willsyoutube.com, click the bell there, and you'll get notified when the show is live, so you can join us. We put up your comments. We'll talk to you. Sometimes we even let people pop in. And we'll talk to him that way. And you can get the show on podcast, of course, always later, which I would still encourage you to do. Even if you're watching this live stream, HMB Radio on iTunes and Spotify and pretty much everywhere. HotelMikeBravoRadio.com. I don't think I said thank you to Andrea. I don't know if it's Andrea or Andrea. So sometimes it's pronounced differently. I've had friends that are Andrea, and I've had friends that are Andrea. She sent a donation last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Thank you.
And I did send Anna half because I'm a man of my word. So sure thank you. Thank
and I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you very much.
So thank you. God bless.
I appreciate it very much. And you're free to do that. Venmo is just my name, Will Koontz. If you're enjoying the program, you can do that. You can follow me on social at @home_made_man. And you can leave a text or a voicemail. Oh, crap. There was one I forgot to get to. Somebody did send a text. I got to do that later. He sent pictures of his neck. Like, he had this major surgery, and he said he was going back and listening to all the old episodes. And so I gotta answer that guy. But I do answer those text messages. It just might take a while. 813-693-2124. You can leave a text or a voicemail over there. You can email us, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com, and all that stuff is at the banner below. So that's the benefit of watching live or on YouTube, whatever. We're on Rumble, doing the Rumble thing.
Yeah, Rumble's a good place to be.
It is.
Where we broadcast mostly for our show.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a new place, the free speech platform. Are you going to get on Threads?
Maybe, I really? Suppose, if it's not a joke. I don't know if this is just, you know, billionaire wars leading up to the MMA fight and what's going on with that. But, you know, if it's a place to be and other people are there, I'm sure that me and Bubba will flock there as well.
Wow. Well, Threads is the Facebook or Instagram, which is all the same stuff, answer to Twitter. Yeah. And it's kind of a fascinating thing because it seems like it's just a place for like journalists and furries, you know, Threads. It's kind of like the left wing Twitter now. Parler was the right wing Twitter at one point, and now that Elon, you know, has the Twitter box now. Mm-hmm. Now it's automatically, you know, right wing. So now they have their own Parler, which is now Threads, and people are already going there and getting banned immediately. So be prepared for that if you do join. By the way, if you do join, Anna, you have to have an Instagram account.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm, you know, I think we might be doing the show on Threads, not me, but.
Yeah. And if you want to delete it, you have to delete your Instagram account as well. They're like connected.
Yeah, I heard it's linked, so it automatically follows all of the people that you follow on Instagram and just kind of transfers that over to Threads. That's what I heard as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will not be joining Threads. I don't think. I think I'm capped on any sort of social media at this point. I have Twitter. I have Instagram, Facebook, barely. Don't really use it. I just kind of use it for show prep and to keep in touch with my family, my immediate family. Yeah, I'm not doing anymore. TikTok, no. Everyone, you got to do TikTok. I know, but I'm not doing it.
Addictive. I hear it's even more addictive than Instagram, and I'm not trying to find out, so.
I don't want to be surveilled. I'm already surveilled by the American government. I don't want the Chinese government, you know, infiltrating my devices too and finding out all of my dirty secrets. It's already worse or bad enough that the Americans have access to it. So definitely no on TikTok, no on Threads. I do have I still have Snapchat, which I think I just need to get rid of. I think it's cringe that I have Snapchat at almost 40. But I've had it for a long time, and I kind of like that one. It's kind of fun. You just post a quick pic, and boom, that's it. That's your social media for it. But it's not like I have a ton of interaction on it or anything.
Well, I think it's, you know, probably a bit more fun when you're single, so I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's true. That is true.
Okay.
Yeah, that is very true. So I'm probably going to delete that. But yeah, I'm just waiting. Like, I want to get banned from these other sites. And I was kind of hoping that Twitter would ban me. But then Elon came in and kind of saved the day, I guess. And now I don't have any fear of getting banned, but I also don't tweet anymore. I'm afraid of tweeting. I'm self-censoring myself there.
Get you in trouble sometime.
It can. It can. It notoriously does. I have my account locked down right now because I'm trying to look for a day job still. So we're in like 2 years of me trying to find a job and I just can't find one. Nobody will hire me. I can't even get interviews at these places. So I'm still doing that. And I, you know, part of me is like, I say a lot of off kilter stuff sometimes on the radio and online. And
just be the culprit.
I'm afraid it's coming back. Let's be honest. I'm white and I'm middle aged and I'm not gay. So that's not helping me either right now. These applications, they'll literally ask you, some of them anyways, what your sexual preference is. I'm like, this is a data entry job. Like, why do you need to know what I like to have intercourse with? Sounds like I was actually thinking about doing an experiment, which is...
Guys?
What?
Guys?
No, not literally... doing guys, but just claiming that I do. Like, next time I get one of those that do the sexual preference thing, click homosexual and see what happens. See if I get any more. See if I get any more bites on that one, or maybe an interview. Why not? And then if it ever comes down to it, like I get the job, let's say, and then I have to
homophobic. Yeah,
I have to go to the Christmas party, and I bring my gal, and they go, "What's this about?" And then I can just go, oh yeah, it was just a phase. I'm not gay.
Actually trans.
Oh yeah, I could say that too. So there's workarounds with this.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I was with this partner here, and then they decided they wanted to transition. So now it's Julio, and now it's Julia. So yeah, born male. I don't know how she would feel about that.
Probably not good.
Well, let's be honest. Who cares? No, I'm just kidding.
Just get the job, man.
I'm just kidding.
She'll be happy that she got invited to a Christmas party with an open bar.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she would be okay with it. She was, look, if it got you this job, then I'm happy to say that I am male to female transition. Right. You know,
that's a ride or die right there.
It's just the world we're living in. And sometimes you gotta do certain things to get the job done. If you will. All right. Are you going to karate class today? What's up?
I actually have to move to a
that's right.
$1 million residence. So I got to get going because I got to go pretend to be rich. So
great. All right. That's it. That's the show. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you, people everywhere. I guess. I don't know. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. I hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Stay tuned. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please tell a friend about it, share it, and enjoy your life. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.